In an ongoing series, VPR in 7 Days have been reporting on assisted living and residential care homes. These are 133 state-licensed facilities that care for over 3,000 Vermonters. 2 weeks ago, VPR in 7 Days revealed patterns of inadequate care at these homes. At least 5 residents have died, and dozens have faced injuries and indignities. VPR's Mitch Wertlieb spoke to reporter Emily Corwin about her recent work on the series, about just how hard it is for consumers and reporters to learn about what happens inside these homes.
Get us up to speed on this project. What's been happening?
Sure. So we got started on this a good while back. I think the curiosity really started at 7 Days with the receiverships that were happening, the state having to sort of temporarily take over some of these residential care homes. 7 Days wanted to embark on a big project. And in fact, you know, getting the documents to do the kind of project we've done is very expensive. It was going to cost us over $2,000. And they said, hey, VPR, do you want to do this together? It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be kind of expensive. And we said, yeah, let's do it. So over the last few weeks, we've been doing stories about these elder care homes. And we've learned by reviewing 12,000 pages of documents that there are real patterns of inadequate care taking place in Vermont at these facilities, which are very lightly regulated. We've heard devastating stories of, you know, people's parents, them finding them sedated without anyone's consent, assaults, and even more common things, just, you know, failures to protect people who fall a lot or wander a lot. Most of the residents we're hearing about are dementia patients who are, you know, likely to get hurt if they aren't being monitored properly, and often they aren't being monitored properly. Another thing that we found, though, through this process is that, you know, the state is regulating these facilities and does do inspections and issue reports, but families don't know what are in these reports, and they actually have very little information about the facilities that they are often spending just tens of thousands of dollars to send their loved one to.
Emily, I want to get to that last point about families finding out the information they need. But first, I was struck by something you said, that this would be an expensive project to undertake. What is entailed in that cost that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, great question. So we wanted to look at complaints that had been sent to the state. And in order to get those, the state wanted to redact everything that was unsubstantiated. And that just means everything they couldn't find evidence to support, as well as information like diagnoses that could possibly reveal identities. They actually redacted every pronoun, so we couldn't know the gender of anybody. And that process is what's so expensive.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying that. So let's get to this other point. You say that families don't have the information they need. Why not?
So inspections are public. The reports that come out, they're done roughly every 2 years by the Department of Aging, Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living. And facilities are supposed to post these on their, like, on the wall, and they do mostly, but honestly, they're really hard to read. They make anonymous all of the residents they're talking about, and most people don't read them. Now, the state also publishes them on a website, but it's extremely hard to find. I mean, it's really buried in there. You can't search, and so it's just page after page of unordered PDFs. One family told me they actually had to call up another resident's daughter at a care home who was a former law enforcement investigator to have her walk them through how to find these reports and then how to read them. And then we also found that 1 in 5 reports were missing. So the state had failed to upload a great many of them. When you read the inspection reports, you realize how important they are to have access to, because you find out things like, you know, citations showing that inspectors found residents were being prohibited from wearing an additional layer of clothing in the winter because it was creating too much laundry for a facility, residents not getting adequate food and losing weight, you know, failures to report allegations of abuse and neglect. So things that, you know, I'm pretty sure consumers would like to know before they send their loved one somewhere.
And one of the most impactful things about this reporting was hearing, you know, the specific story of a person. Your reporting tells the story of Teresa Boudreau, who died in a fall earlier this year. How did you find her and find out about her story?
So, like I said, everything that we got was anonymized and redacted, but we were able to see when someone had died and then when that was investigated. And we knew that we could get death certificates with people's names. And so we used the dates and the locations to get death certificates, and then we used the next of kin listed to find sources. And so I, you know, found in the documents this falling accident where a woman, or rather at the time I didn't know her gender, a person died from a broken neck. And the death certificate led me to her daughter-in-law, Sherry Boudreau. The woman's name was Teresa. So Teresa Boudreau, Sherry's mother-in-law, has dementia. And at Meadows at East Mountain in Rutland, this facility she was at, you know, she starts falling a lot. And Sherry says she might have fallen 30 times.
When I'm there visiting, I would speak with a nurse and say, you know, isn't there something we could do? And so I said, well, what about a tray on front of her wheelchair? She would love that because she's always fiddling with things, and then she wouldn't have to drop them because they'd be handier. And they said, no, they couldn't do that. It was a form of restraint.
But what the facility wasn't telling her is that a wheelchair tray would have been allowed at a nursing home, so a higher level facility. But Sherry didn't know that was possible. She just thought, this is against the rules here. And then Teresa has a really bad fall.
So I met her at the ER, and she was unconscious. And she remained unconscious for several hours. And they did a scan and said she had an intracerebral bleed and fractured face bones.
It was so bad that they didn't think that Teresa was going to make it. But she did make it. And so this is this crucial part of the story here, where after the fall, Teresa's still alive. She goes back to Meadows at East Mountain. And the facility doesn't reassess her. And the state actually noticed that during an inspection and cited the facility, but they didn't tell Sherry. So about 3 months after the state cites the facility for those failures, Teresa has another fall. And this time she breaks her neck and dies from it.
And then nothing. I didn't hear anything else until 2 weeks ago when my brother-in-law sends me this email from Emily Corwin saying she's doing an investigative piece on, you know, care in assisted living homes, and that my mother-in-law was, you know, subject of this state investigation, and just blew our mind.
When I reach out to Sherry, she has no idea that the state had all this information that would have been so useful to her.
Emily, what happened next? Were there any consequences for this facility?
I mean, so the consequence is this citation, which I mentioned, but the only real consequence is this plan of correction, which is basically a letter promising to do better next time. Now, there is an arm of the regulator, which does investigations into abuse and neglect. And the thing is, we'll never know if they even reviewed this case, because everything the Adult Protective Services, or APS, does is entirely confidential. That's because of state law.
That's VPR's Emily Corwin, and this investigation is a collaboration between VPR and 7 Days. Find our facility database online and stay tuned for new stories at vpr.org and at 7daysvt.com. Emily, thanks so much.
Thanks, Mitch.